Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to leave this slide up here a moment just because as I thought about our prayers this morning, O ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low. Isn't that a descriptor of some of the times in life that we go through that are just, you know, so hard? And we cry out to the Lord. And it's like, Lord, we need your help. Because, you know, as I have here on this slide, a fresh start is the name of today's message. You know, every year we celebrate New Year's Eve, you know, and there's that countdown, the fireworks, you know. We commemorate all of our accomplishments over the past year. And yet, when we think back on it, there have also been numerous unhappy moments that we are happy to put behind us, right? I remember the first time I heard it years ago, you know, may the best of 2025 be the worst of 2026. The older I get, it's like, yeah, what a prayer, right? Because if the worst of 2025 is the best of 2026, it's going to be a terrible year, isn't it? Right? I mean, years bring change. We don't think about it because we live with change every day. Most of them are small and things are constantly changing. We look to things that have been steady in our lives. But, you know, there's the loss of loved ones, financial issues, right? Broken relationships. The list of all the challenges that we have had in the past year or years, you know, when you think about it, it's long. And January was named after the Roman god Janus, who has two faces. One that looks to the right towards the future, or I presume that's the direction of the future, to the right. But the other that looks to the left, and it looks behind, right? And this time of year always gives us the opportunity to ponder both the past and anticipate the future. And what makes New Year's so special, so fun, is we get to think about, we think about the positive, right? I mean, it's a total bummer if all you're thinking about in the coming year is all the hardship ahead. But we usually think about all the good things that can come our way. 365 chances for us to have great days. I think the Apostle Paul understood this sort of mindset and what it was like to have a fresh start. Because again, born Saul, Paul was highly educated. As he said there in our readings from Philippians, he was smart, he had ambition for God, right? A zeal for God that surpassed many others. And in the way of the world, he was ruthless and climbing to the top, wasn't he? In Acts 8, when we turn to that chapter, we see him stand by with approval and hold the coats of those who stoned Stephen for his faith in Jesus Christ. But in Acts 9, after he leaves to breathing out murderous threats against the church in Antioch, and he's going to go and arrest all these people, he was a man to be feared. The Lord literally knocked him off his high horse, right? Met him on that road to Antioch and had him be blind for 3 days as he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that moment, he became Paul, the apostle who was a missionary, an evangelist, a church planter who traveled all throughout the Roman world, and wrote many letters that we now call the New Testament, bringing the news of who Jesus Christ was to a world that needed it so badly. And I think he had his second chance that he'd been given in mind when he wrote in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So today we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to focus on what a fresh start is, right? I encourage all of us to forget the bad of 2025 and to focus on the good, the blessings that are going to come in 2026. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dearest Jesus, Holy Spirit, Lord, again, when we think about our past, we see how you have worked in our lives to bring us great blessings, even in the midst of what have been some of the hardest times of our life. And we thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, for your peace that surround us each and every day. We thank you for the knowledge of you. And we ask you to help us introduce others to you so that they may have the same blessings, the same grace, mercy, peace, and love that surround us, surround them in their lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we start 2026, we need to remind ourselves that we keep things in perspective, right? I mean, we all know here that the focus of life should be the Lord and not ourselves, right? But as my wife said to me last night when I was giving her grief about something, man, you always have a way to make it about yourself. And I'm really not. I'm making a bigger point, but I'm sure when we're talking about Eric, it isn't always actually about me, honey, right? I mean, we can agree on that. Thank you. Thank you. You are all witnesses to that lie that Doreen just agreed to, but we'll be okay. But you know, even as we attempt to do the right thing in our lives, right? Whether we're striving to be used by God in a certain way, follow him in a one manner or so, we have a tendency to fall back and rely on our own strengths and ability and experiences, right? I mean, these paths that God has had us walk down are useful in his service, but we tend to make them the focus of things in our lives. And being flesh and blood, we have a tendency to rely on our flesh and blood, right? And as is so often the case, we start a new year evaluating ourselves, our good and our bad, and we make resolutions. But usually these resolutions are even things about the flesh, right? I want to lose 20 pounds. You know, I want to get married. I want to get promoted. I'm going to save more money for my retirement. Maybe we'll have another kid or we'll buy a new house, right? Somebody's going to go back to school or start a business. I mean, there are all these plans that we have for the future. All these hopes and dreams. And not to discourage those things, but we need to take a lesson from Paul and remind ourselves what we really should focus on in the coming year. The first thing that Paul talks about is avoid being confident in yourself, in the flesh. And again, as Americans, we have the American myth of the self-made, and not that it's a myth, but I mean, it becomes our driving force of the self-made man. There's truth in that, but we can't save ourselves, right? And so Paul reminds us, do not be overconfident in your flesh. As he writes here in verses 4-6 from Philippians 3, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Right? Paul had a lot of things for which he could be proud of. He could stand tall within a group of people, right? If he was in a group of Pharisees, he could make himself probably be the number one in the classroom. Because with this pedigree that so few could match, I mean, if it was a contest, he was the winner. But Paul realized that in Jesus Christ, all these things that we count on in ourselves are meaningless for the way the kingdom of God works. Because he writes in verses 7-9, but whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. I want to stop there. There was a Bible or a lesson I was looking at one time. The word rubbish, some versions we use garbage. It's actually the equivalent of manure. Most Bible translators decide not to put it in there. But yeah, it's shite, you know? I count it all as crap, you know? And so he continues, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Paul understood better than anyone that all the prestige and all the power and all the prominence of the world does nothing to bring anyone closer to God. None of those things can bring righteousness or sanctification or salvation to us. And he shared that same message with the church in Ephesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. None of the things we do can bring us salvation. Only God can do that. And so, as this fresh start of 2026 begins, we need to remind ourselves that we really have no confidence in our own flesh, in our own selves. And so the second thing Paul talks about is a realistic assessment of where we are. In Philippians 3:12, he wrote, not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Paul recognizes that no matter how much he's grown in Christ, there is always room for more, right? It's a trap we often fall into. Again, because we are born in this sinful world and it's so easy to think in the way the sinful world thinks, it's easy for us to start to compare ourselves to other Christians, right? How are we doing in our walk with Christ? Well, I'm doing better than Bob. Right? Look at Bob. Bob's doing a terrible job. Right? We compare ourselves to Christians who may be less mature. Or, you know, lacking that, we can say, I'm doing way better than Past Eric did. Right? Look at how much I've grown. Past Eric, man, he was dumb. Right? We can agree he was dumb. But right. And as the service has shown today, Past Eric is still with us, isn't he? He is dumb, you know? But this is how we can think. And Paul's already there's nobody you're going to compare yourself with except one person. Your leader, your king, your Lord Jesus Christ. He's like, otherwise, if you compare yourself to other Christians or your past self, you'll be too easily impressed, right? You'll think you've made it. You think you're doing so well. You know, the way I would phrase it is, I'm impressed with me. Why isn't God? He certainly should be. And God's like, yeah, Eric, don't be that impressed with yourself, right? Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. The danger of comparing ourselves to others or our past self is, right, a self-confidence, a pride that we really shouldn't have, or a discouragement, right? Well, I'm not doing. Look at how much Bob has improved this past year, and he surpassed me. And Paul's like, don't do that. Do not compare yourselves to others, only your Lord Jesus Christ. Because the value of spiritual progress is only seen when we measure ourselves to Jesus Christ and realize we still need to grow in him. In 1 Peter, Peter had written quoted the words from the book of Leviticus when he told his readers, God said, be holy because I am holy. Right? Our self-evaluation should press us and challenge us. As Paul wrote, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. If we evaluate ourselves truthfully, there should be a divine dissatisfaction with our holiness because we're nowhere near as holy as we would like to think, right? So a fresh start is, again, a chance to pursue a deeper relationship, more growth in our Lord and our God. The third thing Paul talks about in this passage is to forget the past sins. In fact, in verse 13, he writes, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead. Right? We all have things in 2025 or even further back that we would like to forget. Some sort of pain or heartache, disappointment, loss. I mean, that's not uncommon to our world, is it? Right? We live in a fallen world where all of these things happen to us and others, and there are those experiences we want to just move on from and forget. But in biblical terminology, this to forget, it doesn't mean to fail to remember, because we can't possibly forget some of the losses and the hurts in our lives, right? The painful mistakes. But to forget in the biblical sense means it no longer influences our daily walk. You know, God has forgotten our sin, so why do we dwell on it? We all have met people, right, who are not able to break the power their past has over them. And this is a trick of the devil. I mean, the past things I've done in my life that have hurt others, or I've done something just incredibly stupid, I'll never forget that. But I'm forgiven in my Lord Jesus Christ. And to allow that to dictate all of my actions and to just, you know, weigh me down. Paul is writing, the Lord died for this. Throw that off. It shouldn't be a weight that drags you down. The way Paul writes or talks about this, we're reminded of 2 Timothy, where he writes, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Throw off those weights of the past. Let them be something that has happened, but that doesn't take you away from the Lord. You know, this. When I was looking at this, I had done some other reading, and I came upon the story of from the track world. May 6th, 1954, the four-minute mile was broken. This was a huge endeavor in the track world. And within 2 months of Roger Bannister breaking that, John Landy, a guy named John Landy, broke the record by 1.4 seconds. And so on August 7th, 1954, the two of them met in a historic race. The world was watching. And as they entered into the last lap, Landy was beating Bannister. You know, the new guy was beating the original record holder. But as he admitted in an interview later on, he was haunted by the question, where is Bannister? And in the last few yards, as he turned to look where his opponent was, his opponent sprinted by him and won the race. As he said to Time magazine, if I hadn't looked back, I would have won. Right? If I hadn't looked back, I would have won. This is what Paul is talking about. The ability to let go of things in our Lord. The story of Joseph is just one such story, right? Sold by his brothers into slavery, taken to a foreign land. Joseph had ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs that he could not control. And yet the Lord used him mightily. And after all these years, in spite of all he endured, he harbored no resentment, because we read in Genesis 41:51, Joseph called the name of his firstborn son Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my hardships. His ability to forget what was behind, to not let that totally influence his past, gave him to the power to succeed and serve God as God called him. And so what about our past? What about our past traumas, right? The death of someone close. We've all experienced that. Our children suffering. We watch them go through things. Our own suffering, right? We've all been hurt by folks. We've had it, you know, affect us in amazing ways. Or we've hurt others ourselves, right? We've inflicted those hurts on others. And those memories of all those different circumstances, they still hurt, right? But are they dictating our future? Are they dictating our walk with God? Or are we able to let them go? Will we say like Roger Bannister, I would have won if I hadn't looked back? So the power of a fresh start is the ability to say, thank you, Lord, for carrying me this far. Let's move on to the next chapter. Right? Forgetting what is past, we look to the future and we strain forward. For this press on or strain forward that Paul used, the Greeks used this term to describe a hunter who was eagerly pursuing his prey. So returning to the track world for a moment, in 1956, 2 years after John Landy lost to Bannister in that race, he was not looking back anymore. In the 1956 Australian National Championship, he and another man led into the third lap of this mile-long race, and they were on pace for a new record. But another runner tries to squeeze between the two of them and knock down this other runner, whose name was Roger Clark, or Ron Clark. Ron Clark fell down on the ground, and as Landy tried to get around him, he stepped on his shoulder and ran past him. And all the other runners either jumped over Clark or ran around him. But suddenly, as Landy was running, he stopped, and he went back and he helped Ron Clark get up. Dusted him off, you know, apologized to him, and Ron Clark was saying, what are you doing? Run, run, you need to run. And so the two of them took off together, now about 60 yards behind all the other runners. And as they ran, they kept passing runner after runner, and in the last 10 yards, John Landy ran a powerful sprint and passed the last runners to win the race. He ran the mile in 4 minutes, 4 seconds. Nothing like a new record. But he wasn't worried about the record. He was worried about running a race with integrity. And that's what he did. He strained forward. He pressed on. And that's what Paul is calling us to do. Don't worry about the past. Whether the past involves X, Y, or Z, let X, Y, and Z lie in the dust of the past and press on. Run the race in the Lord and press on. Paul writes in verse 16, only let us hold to what we have attained, which is the truth of God, right? The truth that our Lord Jesus Christ is our model, is our example, is our Savior. And so let us press on with that truth. Because as Paul finished out this section, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So as we look forward to 2026, let us press on in God, right? Let us leave the past in the past and serve wherever our Lord calls us to serve. Let him who has ears hear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dearest Jesus, Holy Spirit, again, we just cannot help but praise and thank you for your blessings and your love, your grace, mercy, and peace. Walk with us each day, Lord. Keep us. And Lord, strengthen us with whatever challenges we face that are yet unknown to us, but known to you. And help us, Lord, each and every day to point to you and to just stand firm in the fact that you are our Lord and Savior now and always. Amen.